One of the interesting aspects of Christianity, and maybe in all religions, was what is it to do the will of God? And we pray that in some way when we pray the Lord's Prayer, which is in chapter 11 of Luke's Gospel. When you pray, say, Father, holy, you are holy. And we pray, your will be done, give us daily bread. What's daily bread? And the exercises have something to do with being available to search for and discover and do the will of God. Now, how would you do that? How does any of us know we are doing the will of God? You say, well, it's the will of God that I be good, or it's the will of God that I suffer, or the will of God that I'm successful. Or we put some kind of qualifiers on it. And then after a while, we just don't think about it. It's just too much to think about. Your will is informed by what you sense and what you take in. And your basic will is yes or no. I like it or I don't like it. I'll do it, I won't do it. But it's yes or no. You are limited, of course. You do not have a free will. You are confined to what you know. So it's not totally free. It's freed the more you know, the more choices you have. But we never are going to be totally free. God is free. What? Free to do what? It's free to be God. God is limited by one thing, and that's, as everybody else, God is freed by God's being. I know this is a little abstract right now. Unpack it. But God's will is to be God. And if God is love, then God's will is to love. Just flows like that. So let me say that again. God's will is to be God. To in a sense, make a verb out of God. God's will is to God. God's will is to love. That's what we say. That's our theology. So we have to pray and live according to our theology. Then what is God's will that I raise my left hand or my right hand? Does God's will I should do this or do that, marry this person, move there? What is that? Is it, and then some people really believe this, and this course that we teach at Creighton, it's, you know, the kids, some of them, they want to do God's will, and they discern in everything. They'll come to my office and say, could we discern for 10 minutes? I say, no, discernment is a lifestyle, not an activity. I say, oh, I thought I could just plug you in for 10 minutes and read up. And see, that goes into a whole nother area of digital addiction, the best way I could say it. Whereas we can retrieve any information. The people in my community at Creighton have accused me of having an affair with Alexa. Now, because they walk by my room and they hear this female voice telling me everything I ever wanted to know about almost everything. I mean, she really knows everything. And it's fun. But I can retrieve, I can find out what the time and temperature in Afghanistan is in a second. And it's immediate and it's right there. And we get into a spirituality of immediacy. Whereas we should be able to know everything pretty well right away. And that becomes a way of life, you see. Computers, smartphones, everything is immediate. And I have a right to immediate retrieval of data, and that's going to help me make choices. Well, that's a real pull in our culture. And we really see it at the university. We talked about this in class, and we had the kids go one day, one whole day, without a smartphone. Well, they didn't know what to do with their hands. Put them in your pocket. What is it to not be constantly affirmed by people, what they call likes? You get likes, and they love to be liked. I think it's why they use the word like all the time. Like, you know, like. There's one young woman in our class, and we asked a question. She had a very good insight. I counted 27 likes in her statements. She really liked that. But you have this retrieval where you have enough information to make decisions. That's true. It can tell you, Alexa can tell me restaurants and hardware stores and everything. And leads to clarity. And we get used to that, and we have a right to it. And then, oh no, God doesn't send us those kinds of information. So how do we know God's will? Well, how about this? How about is you be an appropriate human being? That is, you use your senses and your intellect and your reason and your memory and your imagination. You use all those things. And then you make a decision to do this, move that, marry that person, what. But do it so as to receive the daily bread of God's love. I want to decide as best I can, God's will is for me to be a human being. God's will is for me to be a human being, as God's will is for God to be God. God says, okay, you be you and I'll be me. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect is not an action quotient. It's you be a human being as I am. You be as perfectly a human being as you can be, and I'll be a perfect God. That's how that is, to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, as you be you. You be you is flawed and fearful and doubting, but trusting and loving, forgiving, in your way. God's will, then, is to make a decision based on our human limitations and our strengths. You make a decision to keep watching after the decision, where is God loving you now that you've made that decision? God didn't make you go left or right. God just said, if you go left, God's not going to love you. Nonsense. What kind of God is that? God is mercantile then. No, God is relationally loving, committed forever by the essence of God, not to lead us, but to follow us. That's it. I'm saying that. God doesn't lead. He follows and says, okay, did you go left? I will work to love you having you're made a decision to go left or to move there or whatever. But it is, God's will is to love us because that's what God does. God doesn't love us because, no, there is no cause. God is God's own cause. We put ourselves in a position. Our decision is to put ourselves in a position to receive that love and to watch it, to watch. Now that I've made that decision, discernment doesn't end with decision. Discernment continues after the decision, watching for where is God loving me now and where else can I put myself in a position to receive love? That's all. So So God's will is in our lives is to find ways to attract us and comfort us, and but never force us. And that's God's problem, to come close enough to attract us, but not so close as to force us. And we would like that. You know, at times we would like, God, force me, make me, you do it. We'd like us to be a puppet. And then we'd say, okay, enough of the strings, I'll do it myself now. No, that's stuff that Jesus is driving out of the temple, of our own temple. There's mystery. Yes, there's mystery. You go left or right, you don't know. Marry this person, buy that place, study that. You know, kids at the university, I deal with seniors. You know, where are they supposed to go? Father, tell me, what do you think? I'll say, I think you should go to church and pray about it. No, tell me. I say, well, sorry about that. That counter is closed. I'm pushing you out into deeper water. You got to pray and be who you are. You're a simple, frightened human being. What do you want? I want clarity. I want success. I want to be light. Sure you do. That's very healthy. Keep looking for it. Be open to it. But do you want to live in some relationship with God, some faith? Can you trust? I don't want to trust. We had a girl last year who had it all figured out, that she wants a religion where you don't have to trust. Could we have that? I said, well, I guess you could. You could call religion living in a bubble. Yeah, you could do that. But if you're going to live life, you're going to have, as I said, the humility to be surprised, the availability to be injured and confused. She didn't want that. She found Christianity too confusing. What's confusing? Well, I don't know exactly what to do. Why do you want to know exactly what to do? Then I'll be okay. Yeah. Very self-centered, aren't you? Father, don't say that. I won't, but I'll think it. So this daily bread, this, when we pray, thy will be done for me, let love and life come to me and to be available to it. And to see, humility isn't negative, it's honest. To have the humility to be received. So it's another struggle about dependence and independence. You know, to be a branch on the vine, that's difficult. But how to say this? How we live, like this addiction to data and certainty, living that way, maybe not even knowing it, not even consciously, but being so tied to certainty and clarity and security. Those are three pretty big forces in our North American culture. To do everything in terms of that, am I going to be successful? Am I going to be happy? Am I going to be thought well of and all that? Living that way will really influence our spiritual life, our faith life. How can you live most of your hours not having any experiences of trust or faith, and then assume that you can just move to another style of life and live faith and trust and insecurity? No, you can't. The way you live will influence how you relate with God, or why you don't relate with God at all. I don't relate with God because it's not clear and there's no definition that I'm going to be successful. And all I care about is success and popularity and security and all these things. That's all I care about. And you, God, don't provide it. And so that counter is closed too. I don't want to have to be dependent. I live a very independent life. I've got Alexa. I've got my computer. I've got consultants. I've got all kinds of security that say, do this. And I don't have to make any faith gestures at all. And then you say, well, then why relate with God at all? And I say, yeah, I agree. You've made a God out of Alexa or out of your computer or out of smartphone or out of something. Where do you get your identity? Where do you get your name? Where do you get your sense of yourself? That's your God. But the God of Christianity and the God of our Jewish roots was always, let's go out into the desert, let's go out into deeper water, let's go up a mountain, let's go away from the crowds. Let's go where we can be who we really are. We don't like that. As I said, we don't like our human condition all the time. We don't like to be dependent. We don't like to be poor. We don't like to be needy. We don't like to have our hand out. Yeah, spiritually you could say, oh yeah, I keep asking God for things and I don't get them, so I have a spirit of poverty. Nonsense. You got everything you want. Well, no, there's a lot of things I want. I went into, I got a $300 gift certificate for Borsheim's jewelry store that is owned by Warren Buffett. I shouldn't have been there at all. But I walked in and there was a woman who was a part-time servant there who teaches at our high school. And she said, she came up to me and she said, Father, there's nothing in here that you need. I said, oh, I'd say that could be pretty much said about most of the things in our culture. And most things in here I don't need to be who I am. Am I what I have? Mm-mm. So you can pray this, but you know the prayer. Then go to chapter 12. It's the story about the man that builds a bigger barn. And then the little story about, little sayings about do not be afraid. Starts at verse 16 is the story about the man who's got a big barn, wants a bigger one. And then 22 to 32, just if we could pray with, can you let God be God, or do you want to be a part-time employee of God that knows part-time stuff? That you do not want to live dependently, except depending on things. We'll pray with that. But how available are you to receiving the daily bread of God's love? That's probably it. And it's a slow conversion, because I'd like some of your daily bread, but I'd like to make my own daily bread. I'd like to have a lot to say about how my life is going to be and what I'm allowing into my oven. And I'm not so sure I want everything that you want to give me in my oven. Daily bread is letting God be God.